former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. This is hour number two of the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Pritchard, filling in for Michael Lombardi. Still to come this hour, we got our buddy Josh Applebaum, host of the Market Insights podcast, coming up in 15 minutes as we're sweating out some college basketball. USC has taken the lead. They're up 34-32 near the end of the first half here. So the in-game action, there was a chance to get SC at +7 or +6.5 or so. If you made that bet, congratulations to you. Also trending to the over in Kennesaw State and Xavier. But to help us talk some more college hoops and what he's seeing behind the window, we bring in our guy, Hall of Fame odds maker, Vinny Maiulo, over there at the South Point. Vinny, thank you for the time and for joining us here this morning. Let's start with what we saw yesterday. How did you guys do with the book? We had a couple of upsets. Mm-hmm. Princeton outright. Furman, it felt like the entire sportsbook here was on the Paladins with that game against Virginia. How'd you guys make out?
Well, very good. Good to be with you guys. And by the way, I did dress up today because you guys are always looking very sharp. So I didn't want to let you guys down. No, I have to say, guys, it's been a terrific tournament, a start to the tournament. Yesterday was a good day, and you know I was chatting with some folks earlier too about. I think there's a misconception still on the part of folks that think that we need underdogs all the time. Not necessarily the case. And I think one of the good illustrations of that is when you look at the numbers, right? When you look at the lines now compared to, let's say, 30 years ago, where a lot of the bigger favorites, like Kansas yesterday, as a 23-point favorite. 30 years ago, you could add 10 or 15 points to that. So for us, we want a balance. You want a nice mix of favorites and underdogs to get it going. So overall, it was kind of back and forth all day. But again, with the juice, we wound up a little bit ahead. But nobody got crushed, and that's why folks are back at it today, rebetting today. The lines were long right before tip-off for the 9:15 game that we're watching now, SC and Michigan State. Upstairs in our event center, where there's over 2,000 folks enjoying the same scenario, right? I mean, we've got a book five times the size of what we're seeing on the screen right now. So a great first day. And today's actually, we've got a bigger crowd today than we did yesterday. We were a little bit surprised. I thought it would be about the same, but we've seen more folks today than yesterday. And of course, we're a 24-hour operation here at the South Point, which certainly helped and got everybody in.
Yeah, no surprise, Vinny, over there at the South Point. It's a spectacular venue, certainly. I know a lot of bettors very interested in the games this entire weekend. It's going to enjoy it, too, being over there at the South Point. What I enjoyed, Vinny, yesterday was hitting two unders. Now, there was a number out there that I could not believe. I was shocked by it. It was the total with the Princeton-Arizona game. And it's like, for me, as a casual bettor of basketball, I was shocked by that. I just want to get into the thinking of a number or a total mm-hmm. that just seems like it was so out of whack with the participants in the game.
Yeah, no, that's an excellent point, Mike, and it's a great question. But look at it this way. The under cash, no question about it. But they actually bet that game. We opened that game 153, mm-hmm. and we got up to 154.5, 155. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, you can look at algorithms and you can look at things. I'm not saying we're always right, because we're not. In terms of numbers, but it's also we have to pay attention from our side of the counter how things get bet. We also know that seasoned bettors like yourself, credit you if you got in on that under and you cashed it, good for you, Mike. That's a great a great decision. But folks do love to root for points, especially in the NCAA mm-hmm. tournament. So from our perspective, watching how games get bet. And again, you always have the line movement to try to find the threshold where you're going to get some buyback. But in this case, in the case of that game yesterday, initially the game was bet over, and then folks like yourself came in right towards the end and did take the under. So actually, we wound up pretty balanced on that total. But paying attention to how teams perform, but also paying attention from our side of the counter, how events are bet is what we've got to pay attention to.
Yeah. We're speaking with Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame odds maker over at the South Point Hotel and Casino. Vinny, you know, it's interesting because you talked about how teams perform. There might not have been a more impressive team than Duke yesterday in their win over Oral Roberts, and Duke has been really good for about a month now. Based on how they perform, mm-hmm. do you then go to the futures odds and then maybe kind of continue to lower Duke's price a little bit there? Because I would imagine there are some bettors that who like Duke, and we know them one being a brand name kind of team that's very public, that, hey, a lot of people might buy into them winning the whole thing just based on what we've seen as of recent.
Yeah, Femi, that's a good point. And again, Duke's been getting a lot of attention. Look, let's face it, Duke's playing their best basketball of the season right now, right? We saw that during the ACC tournament. Even though we didn't have the ACC rated as high as say the Big 12 and the SEC, but Duke was kind of an outlier. And in fact, they did get played yesterday. We've had to adjust Duke we had them 20-1 for the tournament going into this going into yesterday. They're down to 15, and that's by virtue of their performance and people betting them initially. They bet Duke against Oral Roberts yesterday. It was one of the favorites that they did bet. We did get to 6.5 and then get a little bit of Oral Roberts money. But the fact of the matter is there was more money on Duke yesterday, and they're betting Duke tomorrow against Tennessee. I mean, we're up to 4 now. We opened Duke 3. They laid 3. They laid 3.5. So and now we're up to 4. So Duke is getting a lot of play, and we've got to pay attention to that because, again, it's about current form as well, which is something that we and the bettors are paying very close attention to.
Yeah, absolutely, Vinny. I mean, there's so many variables. I mean, Sasser, the injury right there with the Houston guard, and you wonder, you know, yep. Arizona goes down self with the heart situation. You wonder if he's going to be back for Kansas or not and how they adjust without him. I mean, from a future standpoint, what are you guys seeing? I mean, are you seeing bettors kind of deal with the variables and making these decisions in terms of moving forward with what they've seen throughout the year, or are they changing? Are bettors coming to the window now and changing their approach for the futures?
Yeah, Mike, not so much changing. But I think what you have here is a couple of scenarios, right? You look at some folks that may have futures before the tournament. They bet them early. Don't forget, we put the future book up about a year ahead of time. So, for instance, next year's futures will go up pretty soon here for 2024. But that said, folks will have some futures already, and what they'll do is they'll look at the brackets and say, okay, do I want to perhaps, you know, get more on the team that I've got on? Or more likely, they'll look at other teams and try to not necessarily hedge, but put themselves in a position to where, you know, they wind up with a nice ticket, even if it's for a regional. You know, Miami got a lot of attention. Kansas State got a lot of attention at 200-1 a year ago. So now you look at those teams that, and frankly, we've got some exposure on those teams, not surprising, because they were long shots. But now you look at those schools and they're like 40-1, and you know, and they got as low as 30-1. So you have that scenario where folks get involved with the futures. Or you've got folks that say, you know what, I like this school. This is my school. I'm going to ride them. They'll look for long shots. They'll look at, like a Fairleigh Dickinson. They'll look at some of the teams. Look at Princeton at 200-1 going into yesterday. I'm sorry, 2,000-1 and now 500-1, right? Because what? Mm-hmm. Cinderella is alive and well. Still, a nice ticket there. And somebody, you know, so folks like to take a chance, particularly on futures, with some long shots and put themselves in a position to maybe, you know, do some hedging or, again, some maneuvering as the tournament proceeds.
Vinny, we got a couple minutes left. I want to get to today's games here. What is the game that is drawing the most the most betting love from the public here so far?
So far today, we did see love for Michigan State. Again, we opened that game 1, and we wound up closing the game at 2.5. So a lot of support for the Spartans today so far. Underdog in the other game, though. Kennesaw State, 14. We got all the way down to 11.5. Remember, we put these games up right after the pairings came out on Sunday evening. Chris Andrews, Jimmy Vaccaro, Tony Sinisi was recruited this year to get in on the numbers. Initial money came in on Kennesaw, but then we saw some Xavier money this morning. We did wind up closing the game 12, but for the most part, there's a lot of love for Kennesaw. Another dog that's getting money, but I think this will change as we get further and closer to tip-off, guys. Vermont did get the play down to Marquette is down to 10.5, which is a point and a half lower than the opener. So that dog is getting some play there. I mentioned Miami earlier. Miami up to 3 right now, and we open that game 1. So that game, two-way action, they're kind of laying 2.5. It has stabilized and taken 3 there. So you look at these games, those are the games that are getting the majority of the action right now. But again, of course, as the games progress and right before tip-off, that last 15 minutes is where you see everybody getting involved. And again, whether it's first half, second half, in-game. I'll tell you, though, one of the most popular bets that we've seen, and it's been the case for the last couple of years, the first to 15. If all of a sudden you hear this random roar in the book, it's the team that scores 15 points. Not everybody's roaring, but there's a lot of people roaring. So that's something that folks have learned to enjoy, and we have a lot of fun putting it up.
Yeah, that's a quick sweat. Yeah, you know, instant gratification is what we like as bettors. He is Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame odds maker over at the South Point. Vinny, we appreciate the time. Be well.
Always good to be with you guys. Enjoy the tournament.
Awesome Vinny. Stuff there from Vinny. Yes. And awesome stuff if you're a Kennesaw State backer, because Kennesaw State has made this game against Xavier. We'll get you caught up on that. But we'll also bring in our buddy Josh Applebaum as well, joining us next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Pritchard. We're hanging out at the Circa Resort and Casino. Right now, with the games we have going on in the March Madness, we're at halftime between USC and Michigan State, tied at 34. 1.5 is the in-game number there. Total 141.5. And then right now, over in Xavier and Kennesaw State in Greensboro, the Musketeers with a 32-29 lead against Kennesaw. That total is ridiculously high. 165.5. on the in-game. It's playing well over the closing number of 152. And to help us break down the markets for the games coming up later on, we bring in our buddy, host of the Market Insights podcast, host of the Morning Bets podcast here at VSiN. He is the one and only Josh Applebaum. Josh, how's the madness been treating you so far?
Femi Pritch, great to be with you. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I got FOMO. I wish I was out there in Vegas with you guys sweating games. Had a lot of fun last year, but it was a tough start for me. One game that I had yesterday that I was really annoying was West Virginia. I was all pumped for my first play of the day. Obviously, WVU blows it there. So it wasn't a great start, but picked it up later. You know, one game that really caught my eye, which I was really happy that came through last night, was Penn State. Remember, that was a play on Penn State where you had a really contrarian opportunity, yet the line kept creeping in their favor. Penn State played great against Texas A&M and got it done. So I think the whole point being, and I saw Ben Wilson tweet about this as well, but you know, you got to kind of pace yourself when you're into the madness for the full day. Don't get too high. Don't get too low. If you start off, 2-0, don't be, super arrogant. Think you're going to, sweep the board and start betting a ton on every single game. If you start 0-2, don't give up and get down on yourself. Remember to pace yourself. Pritch, make sure you got your Gatorade here, your granola bars, and you're in for the whole day. So I think that's just an important thing. Whether you start hot or start cold, just continue to grind throughout the day. You may start off great. and tail off a little bit, or you may start off slow like I did and pick it up a little bit later. So I think it's just important to just stay even keeled when you're having a full day of sweats.
Yeah, the granola, too many carbs right there. You got to go with the jerky. You know, Josh, you know, you see on Twitter and you see this all over the place, you know, people putting together parlays, right? First, second round, the tournament, the madness, everybody's excited about it. You don't participate that way, but do you have any advice in regards to, you know, people looking at potential parlays out there?
Yeah, so it's a great question, Pritch. Yeah, I'm like the wet blanket, like the annoying one, the one that like kills the vibe and says don't bet parlays. To me, you know, the whole point being, if you want to bet a parlay here and there, you know, perfect example is like the NFL. Every NFL Sunday, you want to put in a $5, $10, you know, five-team parlay, all the power to you. I hope you win. But whole point being, with such erratic situations right now and volatility, it's hard enough to win one bet. The more bets that you layer on, and of course we see on Twitter, you know, this guy put $5 down and had a 10-teamer and he won 20K. And I think that's something that really the public feeds into, and that's why they get so excited to bet them. Because I can't, you know, I can't fault anyone to want to turn a small amount of money into a big amount of money. But to me, especially when you're in March Madness, I'm just a flat better, Pritch. Each game is one unit, risking one unit, 3% of my bankroll per play. If you bet your parlays, I hope you win. But just remember that the hold percentage on parlays is like 30% versus an individual bet. It's about, it's around 5%. So as a better, to me, my chances of winning and having a winning day are exponentially greater if I'm a flat better versus a parlay better. It's just too much boom and bust.
We're speaking with Josh Applebaum, host of the Morning Bets podcast and the Market Inside podcast. Check that out wherever you get your podcast, and subscribe, rate, and review. Do the whole deal here. But Josh, let's get into today's games, the games that are about to start coming up here. Your Vermont Catamounts. I learned that Josh is a Vermont grad. Taking on Marquette, the Marquette Golden Eagles, 10.5 point favorites, total 142.5. I'm assuming you're on Vermont with the points, but I'll ask you this. Are you also going to sprinkle a little bit on the money line?
I'm not going money line, guys, but I got a little prop for you. Ready for this?
Oh, there it is, buddy.
UVM, baby.
Let's go.
UVM. The Catamounts, baby. So I'm going with the Catamounts and the points. Yes, it's a bit of a bias play. I went to UVM. I was a graduate in 2009. All that being said, though, I would never recommend betting my favorite team just because they're my favorite team. That's a good way to lose money. So to me, guys, I have an excuse to bet UVM from a sharp data-driven contrarian angle. You look at the way this line has moved and how the percentages are getting broken down. Public's all over Marquette. They're the two seed. Obviously, Shaka Smart has been a great coach that a lot of people love to get behind. What's interesting about Shaka Smart, though, guys, if you look at his career ATS as a dog, he's like 60%. As a favorite, he's only like 45%. And as a double-digit favorite, he's only, I think, 40% ATS. So he hasn't covered these big numbers. But what the data is telling me, guys, is UVM's taking in a little bit of sharp money here. They opened getting 11.5. They got down to 11. Now you're down to 10.5. I see some shops even now creeping down to 10, guys. So if you can still find the hook, I'm going to take UVM in this spot. They've won 15 straight. This is kind of an improbable run. They started 8-10. They were not a good team much of the year. Something clicked. They changed their rotations. They won 15 straight. And it's kind of funny to say now, but little old UVM, you can bet against them all you want, but they kind of have some NCAA tournament experience over the last few years. They've made it to the tourney 4 of the last 7 years. Remember last year I was with you guys, they covered, I think it was +5.5 against Arkansas. They can shoot the 3, 36%. They're a slower paced team, so if you bog it down, I think it's going to be harder to cover this number. So I'm going UVM, guys. Give me the points here, +10.5. I'm going to be rooting like crazy for my Catamounts today.
All right, a little pride in that voice there right there, go. Josh Applebaum. Okay, how about Drake, Miami? What is the market telling you about this matchup, Josh?
So, Pritch, I really like Drake here. I'm a little bit concerned, though, because from morning to now, you've seen some buyback here on Miami. I'm going to stick with the one who brung me, dance with the one who brung me with Drake, though, guys, because a couple things going on here right now. You know, this game opened Miami, Florida, around a 3-point favorite. I think I saw one book maybe who was at 3.5. But you saw this thing immediately get down to 2.5 to 2, and it was even 1.5 yesterday across the board at quite a few shops. But we have, so all movement was really toward Drake, you know, pretty much open to current. You have seen some buyback. I think there was some Miami money. Maybe Sharps just said, hey, this thing is such a low watermark now. Well, let's hit it and bring it back. So it has creeped up back to Miami, Florida, around -2.5 here. You can maybe hold out and even get a 3. I don't love the late movement, guys, but what I do like about Drake, they're a pretty good contrarian play. You're getting 65% of bets on Miami as the big public play. They're almost getting with Drake 50% of the money, though, only around 38% bets, but almost half the money. They've won 13 of 14. They are top 50 and this is what's important to me in the NCAA tournament, top 50 in three-point percentage, top 20 in free throw percentage. So they make their free throws, they make their threes. They have four seniors in their starting lineup, so a lot of leadership there. Better defense, 64 a game versus 72. And then Pritch, little birdie told me you're crushing your unders there. I'd keep an eye out for this under. It opened at like 147. It's down to 145.5. Drake is one of the slowest paced teams in college basketball this year. They're 6-0 to the under their last six. And unders so far this tournament are 13-7. So I lean under here, but I'm going to stick with Drake here. I'm going to take the 2.5. KenPom only has them losing by two.
All right. Josh Applebaum loves the Drake. He also loves Vermont, wearing the Catamounts hat as well.
I'm keeping on the whole segment, guys. Let's go.
How about Florida Atlantic and Memphis? This is one of the better games of the day, and the spread is probably going to tell us why here. Memphis right now, 1.5-point favorites, total 152. So we're expecting it to be higher scoring with the market liking the over, it appears.
Yeah, Femi, good call by you. Definitely a lot of over money here. That always kind of interests me a little bit because you do have this neutral court under trend. You tend to see unders do well betting against the public in March Madness, but there are those a few games each day where public hammers the over. So this is one of them here, Femi. This total opened like 150. It's up to, I think it got to 153. There's a little buyback, got down to 152.5, but a lot of money has been pouring in on that over. What I like about this one, though, guys, is Florida Atlantic. I'm going to take FAU in this one. This one, doesn't it scream to you, like, why is this line so low? You know, Memphis is your 8 seed. Obviously, FAU is your 9 seed. But kind of what your perception of from the public toward Memphis is that, you know, Penny Hardaway is a really popular coach. They have some star players here, NBA draft-eligible players. But they can also be somewhat inconsistent. However, they did just beat Houston in their conference tournament championship game. So I think a lot of public bettors are going to remember that to say, hey, they took down Houston. Now they're only laying 1.5 against little FAU. This is a layup play. You know, run to the book, bet your whole bankroll here on Memphis. But I would advise against that. I got to play the data, guys. What I like about this one is it's your most heavily bet lopsided game of the day. You're currently getting Memphis almost 80% of bets. But Femi, you mentioned it. This line is dropping toward FAU. Memphis open laying 2.5. Now you're down to 1.5. Some looks even were hinting at maybe going to 1. So I'm going to look toward taking the FAU here in this spot, guys. It just screams to me, why is this line going to FAU? Why is it so short? If it looks too good to be true in favor of Memphis here, that's what would worry me a little bit. So I'm going to take FAU in the points.
Yeah, it's interesting with that game because it feels like almost a lot of people have mentally advanced Memphis to playing Purdue. Like I keep hearing about, oh, Memphis when they played Purdue. It's like they have to beat FAU to get there, you know, and it's going to be a close game.
Yeah, you know what, Josh, real quick, I mean, about 30 seconds, you know, the same kind of sentiment for Kentucky against Providence. I mean, Providence limping into the dance here, but the market so skewed heavily towards Kentucky right now.
Yeah, love for Kentucky, big-name school, Pritch. Providence, I was high on them earlier. You're right, they've tailed off a bit. This one, I would look toward an inflated line, though. Look at the 4.5 with Providence. It's juiced up like it may get back down to 4. This open, I think Kentucky was only laying 3.5. So in March Madness, when you see heavy betting on a big-name school, it moves the number. You can buy low contrarian and take the points here. I was thinking maybe a 5. If not, I'd look toward 4.5 with Providence. Go Cats, go, guys.
There we go.
Give me some pictures of the UVM fans out there in Vegas.
He is Josh Applebaum, host of the Market Insights podcast and the Morning Bets podcast. Josh, best of luck to your Catamounts. I think I'm going to tell you on that, buddy, but be well.
Let's go. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, we'll be back to talk some more college hoops and NFL on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get everything you need to bet the madness this year for only $19. Whether you are filling out a bracket or betting against the spread, our team is here to get you ready for every game and every round of the tournament. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get unlimited access to our daily best bets, tools like our exclusive betting splits, plus our big dance bracket and betting guides. These guides feature in-depth breakdowns of all 68 teams, Cinderella selections, bracket predictions, and picks on every tournament game from VSiN experts like Brent Musburger and Greg Hoops Peterson. Sign up today to get the betting guides plus full access to VSiN through the end of the tournament for only $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Pritchard. We just had Josh Applebaum on in the last segment. We appreciate Josh spending some time with us. Josh is riding with his Vermont Catamounts earlier, and I think he talked me into that play. I think I'm going to add that to the card here before tip-off for that one. But right now, the games that are going on in college hoops, now we have a third game. So the madness is officially underway.
Yeah.
Once you get the three screens rolling, that's when we're now we're into the
now you're in it.
We're into the groove here. But right now, we have a close game in both of the games that are going on. Right now, USC and Michigan State, Sparty up 45-40. Currently 5.5 on the in-game, total 145.5. And then Kennesaw State, the 14 seed, is up against the three-seeded Xavier Musketeers, 42-36. That game 30 seconds away from going to halftime. And then we are now underway in the game that I have a play on, and that's taking the points with UC Santa Barbara. I took 10.5 against Baylor here, the three-seed. That is so popular, but I'm a little worried about their defense. So hopefully the Gauchos can keep this thing close.
Yeah, you know, I was curious. We didn't get to it because of the show, but in terms of that halftime or even in play a little bit with Michigan State towards the end of the first half, because I mentioned SC got to plus 300 on the money line. Obviously, when SC took the lead, maybe you could have got in on the money line with Michigan State, and then now you're done.
Yep.
Now you're just watching the game,
just
right?
Just live trade the game, and it's like, all right.
Sure, sure. So
pay me at the end.
I was not able to do that. But that's kind of the end game stuff that, you know, I like to do at times, especially these early rounds. You get to the Sweet 16, you have a sample size, you have a little bit more information, maybe you can truly handicap the situation, at least I can, or I'll try to. But yeah, these earlier rounds, there's nothing wrong with trying to put yourself in a winning situation, especially with a tight game, a short dog situation. Now, the other games, you know, double digits and all that, I mean, I'm kind of staying away from that right now. But listening to you and Josh, certainly maybe a lean towards Vermont for me. And, you know, any type of double digit situation because of how wide open this field feels this year.
And I think the point, too, with Marquette, and Josh brought it up, with I forgot which game, I think it was might have been the Miami game, I want to say, when he was talking about teams that have been playing well toward the end of the conference tournament period here.
Right.
And I thought that that was a really good point that he could have brought up for Marquette, because we saw Marquette win the Big East tournament, and they looked really impressive in doing so. And I think that maybe this is the time to kind of fade the Golden Eagles a little bit and Shaka Smart as a favorite. Oh, it was Memphis, I'm sorry, who
Memphis,
he was talking
Memphis,
about,
yeah.
That had the really strong end of the season there. But Marquette kind of fits that mold as well, so maybe a play on Vermont is the way to go. They're taking that 10.5 because he mentioned a lot of public bettors, they bet on the last thing they saw, and the last thing we saw with Marquette was them running through the Big East tournament almost untouched there as they won by a pretty big margin.
Yeah, I mean, it's like kind of like Gonzaga, right? I mean, there was an opinion that it'd be a tighter conference championship situation, but it was not.
Yeah, they blew St. Mary's out.
Yeah, they blew them out, and so now you got Gonzaga laying double digits, a big number. Now, I mean, Kansas took care of business without Self the way they did. They covered, you know, teams like that or, you know, Gonzaga, maybe because of the maturity or certainly been there, done that aspect. But there is an opportunity if from an underdog situation with Grand Canyon. I mean, they're catching 15.5 points here.
That's
in
a lot
this
of points.
Opening round here, or at least opening for Gonzaga here on a Friday.
Yeah, and right now we are at halftime between Kennesaw State and Xavier, and this could be an interesting live angle because the Musketeers went off as 12-point favorites on the pre-flop number. They're down 7 at the half, now laying 1.5 on the in-game. So pretty much you just need Xavier to win the game to win your bet, minus 125 on the money line. Total 161.5. This thing is playing toward the over, clearly here, with the closing number being 152. Are you interested in Xavier at that number? Because I can tell you right now, I am not, but I'm curious to get your thoughts.
No, I'm looking at the box score because I really haven't paid attention to the game that much. And so I'm looking at fouls and situations for Xavier and the reasons why they're losing this game right now. So, no, I'm not inclined to jump on that. I mean, they're 1-7 from three right now. That's not severe at all. Foul trouble a little bit. For Jones, so you know, with a team with three guards and you got one in foul trouble, that kind of gets interesting right there too. So no, I'm not inclined to jump on that number right now.
And I think this kind of goes back to the conversation that we had about Arizona yesterday, about how, like, when you see some of these big favorites, like, oh, they gotta win, so let me go ahead and I'm getting Xavier at a discount. I'm not so sure you are, because just based on watching this game, Xavier can't get stops.
Yeah.
And that's been their bugaboo throughout this entire season, that they're a little bit weak defensively. And now here they are against a team that you think that they should be able to handle. The market thought they'd be able to handle them heading into this game. And here we are. They gave up 43 points in the first half to Kennesaw State.
Yeah.
If you're not going to get stops, you're not going to win. And we talked about that with head coach Steve Fisher, who joined us earlier in the program. Defense is what travels. And you can have a game where you go cold and your shot is not working. You got to get stops to stay in those games, and so far they're not being able to do that.
Right, not getting stops. And, okay, Kennesaw probably comfortable too. They're shooting over 53% right now. And, okay, 41% from three. Not a lot of threes, not a high volume, but 5 of 12 right there. Not something that's damaging, but it seems like Xavier is uncomfortable. And again, foul trouble with one of your key guards as well.
Yeah. We'll continue the March Madness to give out some bets to wrap up the show in the next segment. But right while we have a little bit of time right now, let's discuss some NFL free agents who are currently available. And the biggest name, at least as of late, Ezekiel Elliott for the Dallas Cowboys. He was released yesterday. The end of an era.
Oh, man.
Zeke no longer eating at Jerry World. Zeke has been released and is now on the open market. Zeke, of course, best friends with the quarterback, Dak Prescott. So I'd imagine that this is kind of a tough time for the organization because Ezekiel Elliott was thought of very highly in that locker room. But here's what QB1 for Dallas had to say with his buddy Zeke no longer with the team.
Yeah, tough. Yeah, it really is. It's tough. A brother, playing the game with a brother, being able to start this NFL career and share so many memories and grow up as men with this organization. I really can't imagine taking the field without him. Something I don't know if it's completely hit me yet. Obviously, I've talked to him. I'm hurt. I'm sure he is, but it's more importantly for me just to be able to support him. I know he's got more opportunities coming his way, and love that guy, proud of him. Number one supporter in here for him no matter what.
You could see it on his face there and talking about it, that, like, it's true genuine friendship between the two. They came in the same draft class, and it was Dak and Zeke together their rookie year when they had the awesome season, getting the one seed in the NFC, going 13-3 and stuff. And it's probably going to be tough on that locker room, that a voice and somebody who was thought of as a leader no longer there. But what do you think is next for Zeke? And do you think he has any gas left in the tank at a pretty brutal position in terms of a punishment standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, I think he has gas in a tank, but what kind of tank are we talking about? I mean, are we talking about high octane? Are we talking about, something that's just going to pull something, right? You know, I don't think he's not a high octane player anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's just the nature of the business, the nature of that position. But is he a guy who's in search? Is he a guy? I'm not going to say durable because I think he is durable. He's a tough player. Mm-hmm. But is he a guy who can give you quality carries as a backup? Yes, emphatic yes, right there. I mean, there's a number of places I think Zeke can go, and Dak talked about that. But it'd be primarily as a backup, not a featured guy, mm-hmm. right? You think about a team like the Steelers that like to run the way that they run football. You know, can Zeke fit in with something like that? You know, it's Cowboys to the Steelers. You don't do that, right? But I think there's a number of situations out there for Zeke, but he's got to come to grips with that himself as a player. And we all had to. We all would love to have been that, fourth overall draft pick and that guy that was just phenomenal at one point. But reality sets in and you're just not the same player. And so, if he can come to those conclusions himself and certainly get himself ready in a certain way, he can be a highly effective player still.
And I think the reason why you see this split is because he was being paid like he was the high-octane guy, the bell cow, mm-hmm. and you just couldn't continue to have that contract on your books if you're the Dallas Cowboys. So that's why they went ahead and made this move to release him. Who knows? Maybe he even goes back there. Like, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. If he's like, hey, I'll play on a reduced contract or whatever. Mm-hmm. If his market is not what he thinks it is, maybe he goes back and then says, all right, let's continue going forward with this thing. But I think the point that you brought up with him being an RB2 is probably the next step of his career.
Yeah, I agree with that, Femi. I mean, they could have restructured, but they didn't, right? Yeah. And so I don't know what that number could be with Dallas and Zeke, though.
Well, now he's on the open market. Yeah. He's going to find out what his worth is according to the other 31 teams in the NFL. We'll wrap up the show and give out some best bets for March Madness on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today. Get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Final segment on the show. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Pritchard here. This is the spirit of Las Vegas. I like that line. Mm-hmm. It's been unleashed, Pritch, with March Madness going on. Day number two of bros betting baskets. It's kind of what I've coined this weekend. Okay. When you walk around the sports book. A lot of guys in here and everyone's from out of town. It's good energy, but you definitely... You see the ratios, and it's a weekend of bros betting baskets, but we're having fun doing it, though. But thank you to our guests who were on the show. We had four of them, four fantastic guests this morning and afternoon for our friends on the East Coast. Steve Fisher, former head coach of Michigan and San Diego State, won a national title with the Wolverines back in 1989. Head coach Bobby Kremins coached Georgia Tech, leading them to a Final Four. He joined us as well. And also thank you to Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame odds maker at the South Point, and thank you to Josh Applebaum, host of the Market Insights podcast and the Morning Bets podcast as well. So thank you to those gentlemen. And speaking of Josh, he gave us a nice pro tip for the show and for our viewers. And I think it's an excellent one of, you don't want to get too high or too low based on how the bets are going, because this is a long day. The old adage says it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. And I think that applies to March Madness.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we'll get the thrilling buzzer beaters. We'll get the upsets. Cinderella's still alive. And, you know, I'll cash some unders and feeling giddy, feeling pretty good. And
double down.
I could have got cute with SC and Michigan State. Because right now I could just be sitting here comfortably watching that game, having both sides. But my phone died. So that's another pro tip.
It is.
If you have an app, make sure your phone is charged. I'm going to have to get to the window and certainly get the quick charger going after the show. But, you can't get too high. And you have to ride that roller coaster, right? Mm-hmm. But enjoy it, though. And certainly be disciplined. Stay disciplined.
Yep. Bet responsibly. Mm-hmm. We talk about that all the time, is you don't want to get outside of your means, because you want this to be a fun time. And we want to do this for a long time as well. Not just have fun, but for a long time. So charge the phone. Hydrate, and I'm not talking about hydrating by drinking beers. Hydrate with a little bit of water. Mix in a water is a key term.
Yes.
That we should use this weekend.
Mix in.
And bring some chapstick as well. Yeah. If you're from out of town, bring chapstick. You don't want to be too dry there. And remember to eat, because that's something that you can easily forget when you're drinking and you're betting the games. Remember to eat, because you want to make sure that you're not going to crash hard at the end of the day or so. So we can all use that advice. So those are our extra pro tips, which you can see all the pro tips across the network, VSiN.com/tips. Make sure you go ahead and check those out. But right now in the games that we have going on, about 10 minutes to go between USC and Michigan State. Sparty with a 54-49 lead. Anytime Michigan State goes on a run here, Pritch, the book goes wild.
Yep.
They got up to as many as a 9-point lead here, and the book was going crazy. But USC is trying to hang in there right now as they're getting 5.5 on the in-game number.
Yeah, I got some turnovers going on. I can see Michigan State picking up being more physical on the floor too, which I thought, we were talking about that during a break. That could be the case for Michigan State asserting themselves that way. No foul troubles to look at right now, under 10 minutes now too. So Michigan State started off attacking the basket in the game anyway. Then give credit to SC getting stops and getting back into it. Had the lead at one point, but now you can see Michigan State really being more physical and frustrating the Trojans out there.
Yeah, Michigan State right now up to 6.5 over at BetMGM for the in-game numbers. We're still at halftime between Kennesaw State and Xavier. Musketeers down 43-36. They're currently 1.5-point favorites on the in-game, -145 on the money line there, with a total at 161.5. And then right now with the under 12 time media timeout just got underway once again between Baylor and UC Santa Barbara. Right now the Bears are up 16-11 in that game, currently laying 12.5, total 138.5. So Baylor trending pretty well here, but I think the Gauchos, they got to stay in this thing.
Yeah, you know, I was gonna
I'm sweating that way.
I know you're sweating that. I was going to ask you, did you consider the altitude at all for that game? Because, you know, being in Denver and you think about early games, no juice in the building at all. And because there's another game, NC State Creighton, when you're thinking about playing at Mile High and whether or not, okay, these guys are in condition to get it, but how deep are they? Are they going to get tired? There was some instances yesterday in which you saw some folks on the floor getting tired, looking for that media timeout or looking for some help. So I didn't know if you factored that in at all in your play.
I did not factor it in because I thought from a side standpoint, it's going to affect both teams.
Yeah.
I think from a total standpoint, it's definitely something you could factor in just because maybe the pace is just a little bit slower. Mm-hmm. And we saw this game get bet to the under. I mean, it opened 144.5. It closed 141.
Okay.
So that could have been maybe something that where teams or bettors were thinking, all right, the altitude could play into just kind of these teams getting their second wind or so. And also with it being an early game, you mentioned not a whole lot of fans in the stands for this game. It's some empty seats behind the benches there. So maybe that's what the market was thinking. But we've only seen two of these games, rather, get bet to the under. This game, then also the Grand Canyon-Gonzaga game that'll be later on this afternoon. But the game between NC State and Creighton and also Arizona State and TCU, those have actually been bet towards the over. So I don't know how much people are factoring it in, but I think it's something to keep in mind, though, for sure.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, as a player, you're going to have the nerves, right? And then you're going, that's added energy. Like, just getting into the game, getting into the flow, there's nobody in the stands right now either. So you got to find your own juice. And coaches will tell you that. But as you get later on in the day, obviously NC State, Creighton, you know, maybe you get settled down quicker. Who knows? But I think at 52-80, that's a big change.
Yeah,
that is a big change, and not a lot of people realize it until you're in it, until you have to realize it.
Yeah, you can speak to that very well, having played in that area for quite some time. That is an interesting one. Well, we got 3.5 minutes left. Let's give out some of our bets for today, because the madness is upon us, and we're gonna have a little bit of fun. And I don't have a ton on my card here as I got to pull it up because, you know, you make these bets 3-4 days ago and you forget what you're even on.
Yeah. You know, I got to lean towards Providence right now. They play at Kentucky. Calipari at Kentucky, man. The story continues, right?
Right. And,
I don't know what's going to go on there, but they're up against it. They can't lose in the first round again, right? But, you know, Providence limping into the tournament, but they're coming from the Big East. I mean, who's not limping in from the Big East? So I have a love affair with the Big East. I always have when it comes to betting games. I have a lean right now on Providence. They're catching 4.5. Josh talked about it. If it could get 5, I don't know if that's going to happen, but we'll see. Because there is a lot of love right now for Kentucky.
Yeah, I bet Providence. I took the 4.5. I also sprinkled a little bit on the money line at plus 165. Because I think Ed Cooley and his guys, they always play those close games. And I don't know. There's some sort of factor to where they find ways to pull out those close games. I mean, last year they were the number one rated team in KenPom's luck category. You know, and that's not where you want to be, but they were grinding out these games just because, whether it was an overtime or whatever, they had good guard play. And Ed Cooley, I think, is an underrated coach as well. So I just think that the overall vibe of this Kentucky team is they're just not a very good team, despite having last year's National Player of the Year in Oscar Tshiebwe. They haven't been good all season. I'm not expecting them to kind of turn a corner and be good here in the tournament. So Providence, I think, is very much live to pull off the upset. And I also played Iona.
Okay.
Iona plus 10. And this was more so a handicap of the coaches. You have Dan Hurley on one side, and you have Rick Pitino on the other side. Rick Pitino's a hell of a tournament coach. Dan Hurley so far in his career has been an awful tournament coach. I think Connecticut will win the game. Their metrics say that they should win this game, but 10 was just way too many points, I think, for Dan Hurley to lay against a Hall of Fame coach in Rick Pitino. So I took the Gales at plus 10. I even still like it at plus 9.5 in this spot here. So give me the Gales against UConn.
Yeah, how about that? How about that? I mean, it's coming down too. So now I haven't really looked at that game. Like I said, I mean, that could be an in-game situation for me right there too. I'm really intrigued by that now because there's no way the field and what it is, and you know, I'm catching up from football to basketball, and there's no way that I could properly have you know, handicapped or tried a handicap game. So from an in-game standpoint, though, I know what I'm looking for, and that is a candidate. I am intrigued by that matchup, just like you mentioned.
Yeah, we're starting to see a little bit of line movement in the game that Josh brought up there, Vermont and Marquette. Now the 10s are starting to pop.
Okay.
So it's gone down from 10.5 now to 10. There's still a couple 10.5s that are out there, but if you want to get Vermont, now's the time with that game tipping off in a little less than an hour. That does it for us today. Enjoy the madness. It's going to be all throughout the day, but once again, pace yourself as well and listen to the pro tips.
Eat,
drink water. For Mike Pritchard, I'm Femi Abefe. For our producer, Elliot Bowman, and the entire crew, we wish you all the best of luck. Coming up next, VSiN Best Bets. Hang in there, folks. The madness is here.